I went years ago.
Oh, did you try it?
Well, like 20 years ago, I went to it. I cannot go to it. Like,
it's terrible.
I can't go to a show like that.
It's awful.
My wife and I both get different, but both get migraine headaches. They get triggered by, like,
if you're susceptible, to migraines with those lights, I get
awful. Oh, I had no idea it was like that. I just assumed that given the name, it was like an orchestra.
It was my gift to my in-laws. So I have my 85-year-old in-laws there. And they were sitting there. They were all masked up. And they were frail people. I had to get them down the steps. And they were just sitting there, like, scared almost.
No, I have to close my eyes for shows like that.
Yeah.
Even like a lot of, like, Broadway kind of shows now.
Yeah.
The light shows are so intense and all the fire pyrotechnics going on.
Yeah.
That I can't watch because it's that flash.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessary either.
Yeah.
The music, I love the, you know, I love the music, I guess, on the radio with the controlled volume.
Yeah.
But like that, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's, yeah.
I wish I would have talked to you
before. It's too intense.
Last month when I was thinking about it.
I think as you get older, you get less. I'm not saying we'll tolerate that stuff anyway.
And I gotta tell you, it wasn't cheap either.
Well, no, I would assume that.
I mean, the music is fabulous, but, you know.
Fantastic, but not at that decibel.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tommy.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Good, man.
I thought it might have been quicker to walk over.
Yeah, traffic is horrible.
It was horrible, yeah.
Incredible. We'll give you a couple minutes to get settled in.
Thank you.
Oh, that's Janine.
Questions that I asked David for additional information about the property, about that alley back there. I think it makes sense probably in this case to go ahead and then.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
To provide some testimony to get on the record.
Yeah. Oh, and I do have a disclosure to make on that case before we begin.
Okay.
Yeah.
One look before the one, and then the three is the other two.
I'm sorry.
All right. Ready to roll, Tom?
Whenever you are.
Okay. All right, we'll call the December 21st, 2022 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board. We'll call it to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. We'll do a roll call. Mike Angelo?
Here.
Tom DiNiudatis?
Here.
Steve Seidel, that's me, I'm here. And just note that Sandy Ballard and Lindsay Drew are absent. Okay. All right, do we need a separate motion for each set of minutes, or can we approve them as one?
You could combine.
Okay, so could I have a motion to approve the minutes from the November 16th, 2022, and the December 5th, 2022 meetings of the board?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Tom.
Second.
Thank you, Mike. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. Okay, we have one matter of old business. Continuance in the case of Stephanie Tuccio, case number 2022-15. Is there anybody here representing the...
Yep. This area,
Can we push them to later in the meeting?
We can call the first, yeah. The other hearing first.
Yeah, so we'll, okay, so we'll put that aside temporarily, continue on with the meeting, and if they arrive, we'll address them second, and if not, we'll talk about how we'll address that case, since this was a second meeting they were scheduled for. Okay. All right, well, we'll move on to new business then. So tonight we have a hearing in the case of Matthew R. Luttrell, case number 2022-16. And Matt, I believe you're representing the Hesses as the property owners in this matter, is that correct?
Yes, and before we begin, I just wanted to disclose that our firm has represented Matthew Luttrell on other matters unrelated to zoning. It does not pose a conflict of interest, but I wanted to disclose that for the record.
Okay, thank you.
I just disclose for the record, Matt has done work for me in the past, but nothing in relation to this. There shouldn't be any conflict.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
Same here, but okay, no conflict. You.
I don't have any statements of that kind. So. Okay, Matt, before you begin, are you the only one that's going to be testifying, or
at this time? There's a button on the bottom. If you flip it over, oh, there we go. I've been here before.
I never knew where the secret button was, though.
Yes, obviously we need to swear you in. The court reporter will swear you in.
At this point, I will do the presentation, and if you do have any questions, we do have two representatives of the owner here.
Let's swear everybody in at once, then.
Okay.
It's just easier.
That sounds good.
Yep.
We'll do that, just in case. Anybody? Yeah.
So we'll need your names, address, and sure. The court reporter will then swear you in.
Matthew Luttrell, and do you want my business address or personal?
Fine.
Business, 1332 East Chocolate Avenue, Hershey, PA, and Think Design.
Think? Yes. With a Y. You know, I have to make a comprehensive.
Do you want my personal address or my business address?
Business address
okay.
Would be fine.
Irvin Hess, 840 East Chocolate Avenue, Hershey. I'm the owner.
Irene Hess, 840 East Chocolate Avenue. I'm the general manager.
I do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Also, maybe before you get started, David, we're going to have some questions for David in terms of some background information. So we do want to swear David in as well tonight. Right, thank you. Okay, go ahead, proceed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for allowing us to make our presentation here this evening. We are here to ask for consideration for relief with regards to parking at 840 East Chocolate Avenue. There's a business that currently exists there, desserts, etc., and has been there since around 2012 when they acquired the property. There are two prior zoning hearing cases on this property, one prior to the current owners and one under the current owners, and they impact setbacks and impervious coverage. But I don't believe in this case here we're addressing either of those. I was just stating that for fact, a matter of fact.
Yeah, so. I'll try not to interrupt you, but on this one, there was a point I wanted to clarify. So the application showed one prior case. You're mentioning two. I'm aware of three, so I just want to clarify.
Okay,
the case,
on the
case
top
number.
Of Exhibit B, on the upper left-hand corner, I believe I listed both of those. One of those I got a little later than the other. David assisted me with getting access to case 2000-22.
Okay.
The other case was provided to me by the owner. It's case 2013-25.
Okay. I'm also aware of a case number, hold on one second, 2012-39.
I'm not familiar with that case. So.
David, you have a copy?
Yes. Would you like me to read the order, or would you just like to review it quick?
I'll do it.
Why don't you just
review.
Provide it to. Excuse me one second, Mr. Luttrell. Are you
I'm here for the variance for Stephanie Tuccio for Giant Signs.
Okay, well, we know there's a lot of traffic out there, but
I came from Baltimore, so I wasn't exactly where.
That's okay. We've put your case aside temporarily, moved on to the next order of business, and we will come back to you when we're done with this hearing.
Thank you. I appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We'll give you a moment to look at that.
I don't believe this impacts what we're asking this evening. It appears to allow for the current use. And then also there's some stipulations in there with regards to indoor seating, 21 seats, and we're not proposing to alter those in any way.
Okay. Just, I guess, for the record, you know, just in terms of the application, you know, do you want to amend the application just to reflect all the prior cases?
Yes.
Okay, great. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yes. So I believe in front of you have the application package, which includes the application and the information regarding section B.1, B.2, and I'll address these in greater detail shortly, B.3. You also have Exhibit B, which is an enlarged site plan showing the proposed variance, and also there is an indication on there of a proposed addition, which does not appear to require any sort of variances at this point. And then Exhibit C will be used to demonstrate that the requested variance is very consistent with the neighborhood that this property belongs to on South Lane. So with that being said, then, what we are requesting is relief from requirements of section 225-402.2.B, which basically requires that all parking or a vehicle be able to maneuver on the parking on the site to allow for head entry into the roadway. So in this case here, you're probably aware, there is a one-way road which provides kind of angled head-in parking access onto the alley, and then you pull through to South Lane. What we're requesting is the addition of 7 parking spaces adjoining that would pull head-in off of South Lane, and actually the proposed project here would reduce the impervious coverage. There was a prior relief granted for maximum impervious coverage of 67.8%, but that's not part of this, but I just did want to share that we will be reducing, and that will be demonstrated in the permit application, assuming that's not an issue at this point. So with that being said, going back to the application, and the first item relative to unnecessary hardship criteria, explain the unique physical circumstances. The circumstances I'm presenting here were presented in the previous cases. The properties that are out there are narrow in width. And in this case here in particular, this structure, when it was originally constructed, sits back considerably further than the adjacent structures, which creates some additional hardships on the current property owner. What we're attempting to do is we're attempting to reconfigure the parking to allow for an addition to the building, which will promote a safer work environment for the employees by allowing the relocation of current uses that are in the basement to be on the same level as the customers and other employees serving the restaurant. So the item one is the narrowness of the property severely limit the possible locations for compliant parking structures. Item two, why do physical circumstances or conditions noted above eliminate any possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity with provisions of the zoning ordinance? And As I indicated previously, a variance is required in order to provide for the reconfigured parking necessitated by the construction of a more accessible and accommodating work environment. There is no new seating proposed for the business. They're not intending to expand the business. It's purely bringing stuff up out of the basement onto a main level. And as everybody's aware, worker safety and accommodations are very prevalent in today's news. So. And did you create the hardship? I know the hardship, again, is an existing condition. I wanted to emphasize again, the existing building, when it was originally constructed, sits back about 20 feet further than the adjoining structures, and this does create some difficulties in developing compliant parking. I do want to step back here very quickly. You'll see on both Exhibit B, or you'll see on Exhibit B that there are two properties actually shown, and the owner is in the process of having a reverse subdivision or modifying the deed to join the two properties. The properties are 50 feet and 40 feet. The 40-foot property was actually acquired some time ago, and that was acquired specifically for the one-way parking condition. So those two properties will be adjoined at this point. The next item is describe why the variance, if authorized, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And I think if we look at Exhibit C, you'll see that South Lane serves a very small number of properties between the golf course and the municipal park where the soccer field is, and the properties extend from where Sherwin-Williams paint store is down to the animal hospital. And there are five properties currently that utilize either South Lane or Lane Street to complete vehicular movements from their property onto East Chocolate Avenue. So including the property that's immediately adjacent 840 East Chocolate. So we feel it's very consistent and will not create any sort of difficulties in the neighborhood as far as vehicular movements. So. And the last item on here then is explain how the variance, if authorized, will represent the minimum variance that will record afford relief and will represent the least modification possible of the regulations in issue. We are actually proposing to reduce parking slightly. The reduced parking still allows for the 21 indoor seats, which are permitted through the previous variances, and that also accommodates the outdoor seating and the additional parking required for employees. It's three space, or each parking space represents three indoor seats and six outdoor seats for this use.
Say that again. Say those numbers again, please.
Each parking space, as shown on the plan here, according to the ordinance, one space represents three indoor seats or six outdoor seats. And if you've been to desserts, etc., you'll realize that, or you'll recognize that, that's more than enough parking for the seating that's they have in place there. So.
Yeah, and what's the number of indoor seats and what's the number of outdoor seats?
Per the relief read earlier, 21 is the allowable seating indoors, which would constitute seven parking spaces.
And how many outdoor?
I don't know that there's a designation on the outdoor seating, but there are seven remaining parking spaces, which seven times six would... I don't do math in public, but I believe it's 42. And David, could you clarify, does that include employee parking? The way I read the ordinance, that includes employees as well as seating. So.
Yes, there's no additional requirement to provide parking for employees when dealing with food service establishments. They are incorporated in the 1:3 and 1:6 ratios.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions at this point?
I have a few, but I'll give others a chance to. Okay. I think you hit upon one of the questions I had, because it looked like the parcels are listed separately as two separate tax parcels, at least on the county tax maps. So were those never consolidated?
Yeah, apparently that was an oversight as things went on, and David and Chuck, I believe, pointed that out to us, and we are the owner is proceeding with having that done. Mr. George Porter is representing them on that matter.
Okay. So I guess that goes back to the prior owner, looks like 2000. Is that when the parking was installed?
I believe it was in.
I mean the existing parking. Is that when the existing parking was created?
I'm not certain of the timing. However, Mr. Emmerich worked for Light Highway at the time and did sit on the board, and he went through the whole thing.
Okay, I'm just trying to clarify kind of the existing conditions.
Yeah, back in 2000.
If I may, I know a little bit of the history of the property. It used to be the offices of Nestico Drewby before they moved to their current offices. It was owned by Tony Nestico and Mr. Drewby.
Right.
And when they moved into that office, they put parking in, which is very close to what exists today. It may have been manipulated a little bit, but not much over the years until the Hesses purchased it.
And I think that's what the case in 2000, I think,
yes.
involved. And that's when that parking was put in, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So you
have not changed the parking from what it was when you purchased it in 2012. Is that correct? Yeah, please come up to the mic as we're asking questions, because I want to make sure the court reporter can hear you. And
to the best of my knowledge, we haven't altered the parking at all. I mean, the way it was purchased from Nestico Drewby is what you see today. So.
All right, so maybe just for the record, let's get both of those tax parcel numbers on the record. I believe the application, it was written in on the application that it included, let me pull that up here.
The
number that's on the application right now is parcel number 24-027-034. Is that correct?
I have to check.
That's what was written in pen on the application. Probably after it was typed up.
Yes, that is correct.
And then my understanding is that that's just the one original lot, and the other parcel number right now still on the tax records is, as I understand it, is 24-027-035.
That is correct.
Which is the parcel next door, which used to be, I believe it was 844 East Chocolate Avenue.
Yes.
Okay. So again, do you wish to amend your application to reference both parcels?
If that is necessary, yes.
Just want to make sure we got the facts.
I wasn't sure how the board wanted to handle those two matters.
Just so we're clear about what parcel we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, you know, because there's been a couple of cases before here, I know that's not specifically what you're asking for tonight. I just want to make sure that the trail here in terms of how we've gotten to today is clear and is still the case. So
yes, sir.
In terms of use, because it does impact parking, you're stating that the current use is a food service establishment, is that correct?
Correct.
As opposed to a retail bakery, for example. I know your primary purpose is baked
correct.
Goods, I believe.
It was as approved in the 2012 variance. That's what was requested. It has been that use since that approval.
Okay. I think at that time, though, and David, this is maybe where you come in. At that time, the zoning ordinance, there was no food service classification. It was something else, right?
It was classified as a fast food restaurant. In the 2017 ordinance, fast food restaurant was replaced by food service with drive-through and food service without drive-through. So the classification of this use currently is food service without a drive-through.
Okay. And was there a separate, I know in the current ordinance there is a separate retail bakery use. Is that, was that in the old ordinance or not?
I am unsure whether that is in the old ordinance. However, the 2012 case, it was designated as food, a fast food restaurant, due to their serving of sandwiches and salads. It went from being a retail bakery at that time, or whatever the terminology was at the time, to food service, because they weren't just a counter serving baked goods. It became a restaurant at that point.
Okay.
And that's consistent with the current use.
Yeah. So does the business, this may be a question more for Mr. Hess. So do you sell to other businesses, restaurants, non-retail as well? No. Cater events, things like that?
We aren't doing any catering. I mean, occasionally, but the only other business that we currently sell to is the Hershey Pantry. We shuttle things over to them because they wanted to keep a consistent product, what they're used to. Rena, I don't think there isn't any other businesses that we're selling to, like on a regular basis. We're not stocking anybody else's shelves or anything. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How many employees do you have on site? I mean, I know you have, you know, you don't, everyone isn't working at once, but how many employees do you have working at any given time maximum?
Yeah, I mean, in total, I would say give or take 30. Like during, on a day-to-day basis, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, on any given, you know, maximum day, what's the maximum number of employees you'd have on site on any, you know, the max you'd have on any day?
Maybe about 10, I would say, for this full day.
Okay.
We usually have about 5 or 6 bakers, and then maybe 6 maximum retail employees.
Okay.
But, I mean, during holidays, it could be more. During slow times, it could be significantly less.
Okay. And then, so I have noticed in driving by, you've got a truck out back. What's the purpose of that?
Currently, we are just using that to store some of our Christmas orders.
Okay.
But that goes away as soon as Christmas is over.
It's a seasonal kind of thing.
We just don't have, you know, this refrigerated space at the time, which we would have more refrigeration space because right now we don't have a walk-in for our kitchen.
The truck I picked up, yesterday? Day before? And it'll be gone Christmas Day. You know,
just trying to understand the parking situation.
Yeah, it's there for like Thanksgiving, you know, the big days where we have a lot of overflow product to store because everybody wants to pick everything up at one time.
Okay. And the proposed project does allow for parking a truck like that, a loading, unloading area. And I know that's not part of the zoning variance requirement here, but if you look at Exhibit B adjacent to the grass area, that's intended to be a loading, unloading area.
Yeah, so you mentioned reducing the parking spaces, and there's currently 16, is that right?
Correct.
So reducing that to how many?
As you can see, we're reducing it to 14 plus a loading space.
Plus a loading space,
so,
okay.
Correct. And there was no loading space previously identified as part of the project. So.
Okay. Go ahead, guys. Gathering the rest of my thoughts.
Low traffic area back there. I assume it's heading back out. Is that how it
works? Correct, yes. And on Exhibit C, you'll see that the project immediately planned north there. That facility has had a parking in the almost an identical location. And then, you know, as you make your way down east of that property, you
sorry, I forget. That is one. Is that one way back there?
No, it's not one way. No, people. It's used for two-way traffic. But it's primarily employee traffic and some customer traffic. Obviously, as you go through there, yes, I think people drive through there, turn left or east, and then pull out Plain Street, which is adjacent to Credit Union, or you can go north and pull out. There's a property, or a lane, an alley. I'm not sure what it's called. Yeah, leave it there, please.
Yeah.
Edwin Alley. So yeah, there are really four access points to South Lane, so it's not a lot of cross traffic, you know, people driving end to end. You can come in down right short of Lane, you come in Edwin, you come in at Lane, and I said four, I believe, or three. And then the individual properties.
I have a question this time.
Okay, I have a couple other questions. So so this is a two-story, the existing building is a two-story building plus basement, is that right?
Yes.
So what's the use of the second story?
Office space.
And who?
The dessert. Yes.
Your office, okay.
Correct.
Okay, yes. Office for the, so that includes the employees you referenced earlier. It's not another business that.
And that was referenced in the 2012 variance as well.
Okay.
Support staff or office space. So.
Okay. Now, I wasn't sure if it
as
was.
As I saw, I believe.
I wasn't sure if it was a two different uses in the building with
no,
two different.
No, a single user. Yep.
Needs. Got it. Okay. David, I think this question's for you. So the alley, I believe, is also the bike path route between. Like the rest of Palmdale and the Palmdale Park there and connecting to Golf Lane and the rest of the bike area there. Is that correct? And is that?
Yes. The South Lane or Lane Street or South Lane Street is used as part of the on-road bike network in the township official map, which I have pulled up on the screen currently. So it is part of the Orange Street network. And I did discuss this with Chuck Emmerich about whether this is an ideal situation. Back out parking into the bike network is not ideal. However, it is not unique to that area. And I won't give his testimony on it because I'm not Chuck, and I do not ride bike, but his wording is the township views it as not ideal, but not unique. As we have the on-road bike network goes along this alley,
mm-hmm.
and then along Ariba, so it does go into areas that are more congested,
mm-hmm.
heavier traffic than this.
Okay.
The issue is the back out, however.
Yeah, I asked a question because it's not just the businesses there that use that,
yes.
that alley. It's also cyclists that use that alley.
I believe that bike lane goes through the church parking lot. So, yeah.
It does.
The parking lot is certainly one of those situations where there's a lot of traffic backing, et cetera. I think bikers using roadways are certainly aware of their surroundings.
So coming back to parking for a minute. So number of spots shown, but I did notice there's also a parking lot that is labeled for your business on the other side of the alley.
Where is that?
Can you speak to that?
We currently rent that lot from Hershey Trust for employee parking because we didn't want to have them. We wanted to have all available parking for customers.
So your employees park there?
Yep.
instead of in the...
Yeah, the employees don't park on the property.
Okay. Is that a compliant lot?
Works for our purposes. I don't know.
Okay.
And I would emphasize that the number of parking spaces that are provided are compliant with the ordinance. So for convenience purposes for customers and the business, they do rent some off-site parking. So if that were necessary to comply with the ordinance, we certainly would have brought that into consideration, but we didn't.
Yeah, I was just trying to do the math here, regardless of what the ordinance says in terms of, you know, if you've got 10 employees on.
Yeah, yeah.
On at any given time, and then you've got, you know, customers in and out of there. That's a whole lot more than 14 spaces, so.
Fortunately, the ordinance is very objective and allows us to shoot for it or request a variance.
Well, exactly. That's why we're here tonight discussing it. So, okay. I think that's all the questions I have. Any other questions? No? Okay. You mentioned reducing impervious coverage. So what's the proposed impervious coverage after these changes?
It's only a minor reduction. It's going to be right around 67%. The variance in 2013 allowed for 67.8. I kept it right around 67 at this point. Obviously, we will do a more accurate calculation as part of the submittal. I know David and his department will not allow, his office will not allow us to get through without providing accurate information relating to that matter.
Okay. Megan, this is maybe more a question for you. So that prior variance was specific to adding I believe the one variance was to add the handicap accessible ramp, which increased the impervious above the 60% that's permitted. And then I believe a patio was added later. I think that was in the 2013 case.
Correct.
That increased it to the 67.8. So that was approved based on those plans and those specific cases. Do they need a variance for the impervious being above 60 with a different configuration?
No, they would only need to get a variance if they exceeded the 67% that had been previously approved.
Okay.
So if the addition causes their impervious coverage to go up, they would have to.
So it's not specific to the footprint that was proposed at that time.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay, just want to confirm that, make sure that they're not having to come back a second time if this were to be approved.
Right, well, as the final plans are submitted for the building permit, if that did exceed the percentage, they would be back here, but...
Yes.
But right now they're proposing that it's going to be under that amount.
So. Yes, okay. So we would not need to address the variance.
Okay, very good. Okay, so unless you have any other testimony,
I do not at this time. Thank you.
Is there anyone from the public who's here to comment or testify relative to this case? Nope. Okay, seeing no one, then we'll close this hearing and advise you that the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way.
Okay.
Thank you for your testimony tonight.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
Have
you.
A wonderful evening. Great holiday season. Thank you.
Okay, we'll come back around to, are you the only one who's going to be testifying for, or you're not waiting on anyone else?
No.
Are you Ms. Tuccio?
No. Ozier, and
wait, hold on.
Sorry, too fast. Delozier. I am a senior account manager on the Giant Food account for Gable Signs. We are the sign vendor for Giant Food. And Stephanie Tuccio is a subcontractor of ours that handles our permit applications.
Okay. Give me your first name again. I'm sorry.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, thank you. And the company name?
Gable, G-A-B-L-E, Signs and Graphics. And we are based in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We need to swear you in before we get started.
Yes, I do. 7440 Fort Smallwood Road, and that's Baltimore, Maryland, 21226. So the variance that we're applying for today is regarding the sign code for the property located at 1250 Cocoa Avenue in Hershey, Pennsylvania. This is a existing grocery retail store for Giant Foods. And the current signage that is on the building, they have a total of 7 signs on the store, with a total square footage of 187.055 feet. And we are looking to do a change. They went through a recent rebranding of their logos and their signage in 2020, and they want to update that storefront, paint it, make it look fresh, and put their new signs up. The new sign package, the standard signs, there are 5 of them, so it would be 2 less than what's currently there. And the square footage total would be 146.955 square feet, which is roughly 40 square feet less than what's currently on the building. The code that was provided to us dictated that any of the signs that had a height or a width that were more than 3 feet could not exceed 45 total square feet. So the sign that is the biggest concern based on the brand standards would be the main Giant sign. The actual standard size for the main Giant sign, what they prefer, is a 6-foot sign. But that sign is about 180 square feet, which we realize with the current code would be excessive. However, this is a very large store. It's 280 foot wide. So we opted to go with the smallest option that we have in the brand standard. Like I said, the largest is a 6-foot tall sign, which is roughly 180 square feet. The second largest is a 5-foot tall sign, which is roughly 130 square feet. And then the smallest is a 4-foot sign, which is 79.66, which we felt like was a good consensus considering the restrictive code. And also the fact that the current sign is also a 4-foot tall sign. And the square footage of that sign is 88 square feet. So the new sign would be roughly 8.5 square feet smaller.
So that number you just quoted, that's for that main sign in the middle.
The main sign,
the existing main sign you said is about 80.
So the current sign is 88 square feet, and the proposed sign is 79.66.
Okay.
And I believe all of the other signs are code compliant, if I'm correct. And like I said, we're reducing the number of total signs by 3. So, actually 2, sorry. This is the brand standard. This is their standard package. As you know, Giant offers many services besides just the word Giant. They have pharmacies and beer and wine and things that draw attention for their customers. So they like to include those signs when possible. So considering that the store currently has 7 signs on basically every sign band area available on the building, we felt that if we had to reduce it down to only 1 sign that said Giant, it would be a hardship for the business because they wouldn't be able to advertise to passersby what services they offer with their new signage. So,
turn your mic on.
What signs are you eliminating?
So the old sign package, which I believe is roughly 12 to 15 years old, these signs have been up for quite some time. It used to advertise all of their departments, bakery, carryout cafe, deli, florist, and seafood. Those items are no longer part of their package because they felt they wanted a cleaner look, a little bit less overkill with the signs. So the new standard package is Giant, Pharmacy, Beer and Wine, Giant Direct, which is their pickup service, and Starbucks, which they have inside of the building. So ultimately, they're eliminating all of their signs that are on the store currently, with the exception of Giant and Pharmacy. All of the other signs are no longer part of the package.
Okay, so this is more of a Giant edict versus you guys saying, hey, we want to do right by you guys since we're asking for a sign.
Yes. We did opt to reduce the size of the Giant sign to be more, you know, to be closer to what the code allows here. But as far as the signs themselves and what they say, that's 100% based on the services that are in the store as well as what their new standards are.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Was there prior relief granted?
Not that we were able to find. Like I said, it is hard for us to trace back. We've been working with Giant for over 15 years, and we cannot find a record of when these signs were installed. So I think they've been up for quite some time. Our new computer system we started using 11 years ago, and we look back in some of the archive for the old computer system as much as we could find. So if I had to guess, these have been up for probably 13 to 15 years, with maybe some, you know, obviously repairs done. But I think this is the original sign package for quite some time.
David, I think you may have shared with, did you share with us a case from 2000, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, case.
So it was very old.
Maybe before, you know, whatever history you have with them. But
yeah.
So there was relief granted for the existing signs then, David?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And that was case, hold on.
2000-01.
There's 01. Okay. So your comparison, basically, though, I guess with signs, I think you've told us this before, with signs, once you change it, you've got to come back in for relief again.
Correct. So non-conforming signs, any alteration to the sign must bring it to within full compliance of the zoning ordinance, or they need a new variance. Which is why Giant is here.
So are we giving a variance for the height, or are we giving a variance for the square footage?
For the sign area.
Sign area. Okay. And what is that? What is the number? I think it's probably in this application, but I...
The maximum square footage for a wall sign is 45 square feet. So
a single sign.
For a single sign, yes.
Okay.
Although it's not mentioned in their application, since the other signs were mentioned... The permits have actually been issued for those because there's no relief necessary, and total sign area for the site is compliant with the zoning ordinance.
Okay, so total sign area of the five signs is compliant. The four signs to the side are compliant.
Yes.
The main sign in the middle is 79.66 square feet versus 45 would be permitted. And the 4 feet is not an issue as long as it's approved as a variance for the square footage. Is that correct?
Correct. We do offer two different methods for compliance when it comes to wall signs. The first option is a wall sign can be any area provided that either the vertical or horizontal dimension does not exceed 3 feet. Since both dimensions, horizontal and vertical, exceed 3 feet in this situation, they go to option number two, which is a wall sign where both vertical and horizontal dimensions are greater than 3 feet, right. So we'll have a maximum area of 45 square feet.
Okay. Thank you, David. All right. Any questions?
I have none.
No. I don't have any others either. So, okay. Well, thank you for your testimony. Again, I don't see anyone here from the public, so no public comment. And again, the board has 45 days to render a decision. Now, let me make sure we get one thing on the record, though, because last month you guys were scheduled to be here,
yes.
And your application was dated by the deadline for last month's meeting,
mm-hmm.
Okay, which which means we would be beyond our 45 days from when the original application was. So is it 45 days, Megan, from the hearing or 45 days from?
45 days from the final hearing.
From the final hearing, but you did request a continuance. Do we need to do we need to vote on that, Megan, to accept that continuance as we just conducted here?
Or is that adequate?
Well, we did not, because what we did in the last meeting is we authorized David to contact the applicant and confirm. So do we need to get that on the record or not?
Ma'am, you would just agree that the hearing today, you weren't, did you submit a continuance request?
Yes, we received a continuance request from Stephanie from Permex, who is the original applicant.
You would waive any deadlines requiring a hearing in this so many certain days from your application submittal, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. That's all I wanted to make sure of, that we had that covered, because we did not vote for on a continuance.
We typically allow the applicant to request.
Yeah, that was a miscommunication. I thought she was going. She thought I was going.
Okay, great. That was the only other matter I wanted to make sure we had clear. So,
So
we have 45 days. The board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. So,
okay. And if it was granted, do we have to apply for a separate permit, or do we have to apply with a permit with that documentation, or does the variance?
Well, you'll continue to work with David and the township staff to get the permit itself.
Wonderful.
They won't issue a permit. In a case like this, that where relief is required, they won't issue a permit until we've approved the appropriate variance.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very
much. Thank
you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a wonderful holiday.
You too.
All right. You too.
Safe travels back.
All right. Do we have any other business tonight? I don't think so. Then I'll make a motion to adjourn to executive session to deliberate on these two cases. Thank you, Tom. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We're adjourned.
I made
the motion. Tom seconded it. Okay.